Okay, welcome to this special report about the long-term famine coming for the world in 2027 and 2028, stemming from the ongoing war with Iran and the closure of the Strait of Hormuz. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Thank you for joining me. I've done a detailed research analysis on this that I think you'll find very interesting. No one else that I know of has done this analysis, and the results are quite shocking. Now, first, we have to understand that synthetic fertilizer, typically we're referring to nitrogen-based fertilizers derived from natural gas through the Haber-Bosch process, these fertilizers provide the food for about half the world's population. This is widely understood. It's pretty much consensus among agricultural analysts and food scientists, etc. Okay, so 4 billion people are living today because of nitrogen-based fertilizers that can only be created due to the abundance of natural gas. Now, of course, a lot of natural gas comes out of the Persian Gulf, predominantly through the, the South Pars gas field, which I believe is shared by both Qatar and Iran. They have different names for it. I think Qatar calls it the North Field. Anyway, Qatar has, of course, 14 gas trains, which are natural gas purifiers and concentrators. Two of those trains are out of commission, and the other 12 trains cannot function because there's no ships sailing out of the Strait of Hormuz carrying the gas. So in other words, all 14 trains are currently not functioning. So given that we know that nitrogen-based fertilizers feed 4 billion people on this planet, the question I set out to answer is, how many of those 4 billion people depend on the natural gas that comes out of the Persian Gulf, specifically? Because, like I said, I haven't heard anybody talking about that. Now, you've probably heard figures such as the Strait of Hormuz carries about almost one-third of the fertilizer exports or seaborne fertilizers that are traded around the world. And that's true, normally. Except there's a lot of fertilizer that's produced domestically and consumed domestically by various nations, Russia, China, the United States, etc. So the bigger question is, what percentage of the world's total fertilizer, that is nitrogen-based fertilizer, comes out of the Persian Gulf via the Strait of Hormuz? That's a complex research project. So, of course, I unleashed a bunch of AI agents to do the research, find the documents, etc. Just to summarize it, the answer is between 8 and 12% of the entire world's nitrogen fertilizer production depends on the Persian Gulf. So I took the middle number, 10%, which just happens to be an easy number to work with. So that means that 10% of half the world's population is only able to eat because of the fertilizer from the natural gas in the Persian Gulf. So what's 10% of 4 billion people? The answer, 400 million people. Or put another way, for every day that fertilizer does not sail through the Strait of Hormuz, 400 million people in the world essentially have nothing to eat for that day. Now, or you could say more accurately, 400 million people units or equivalent people units, because there would be, you know, some food sharing, there would be some food sort of redistribution, perhaps reprioritization. Typically in a country, the leadership would try to keep people fed, even if they all got a little bit less. They would try to, you know, share the food to prevent a massive starvation uprising or something, right? So I'm not saying that it's 400 million distinct people who have nothing to eat, but rather it's 400 million equivalent people units. I think that's the most accurate way to say it, that have nothing to eat. Now, the thing is, they have enough to eat today in 2026 as this war is happening, because they're eating food that was harvested in the spring or even harvested last year or earlier in the year. that food was grown based on fertilizers that were available in 2025. Okay, so there's a very long lag time when it comes to the conversion of energy to fertilizer and then the conversion of fertilizer to food. That's a long conversion process. So in other words, you can eat while the war is happening, but the lack of fertilizer is going to kick in next year, or, you know, the fall planting season, the winter, the spring of 2027 even. And then by the summer of 2027, that's when the shortage is really going to hit home. So the simple truth of the matter is that we are at way more than, 130 days into this war. So, or at least I think that's the number. It's close to that. So we've had 130 days, give or take, where there's essentially no fertilizer leaving the Persian Gulf, or very little. And that means that for 130 days, you know, 10% of the world's fertilizer supply is not entering the pipeline that would normally result in food. So in other words, one way to think about this is to say that sometime next year, in 2027, 400 million people will have nothing to eat for 130 days. Or, again, 400 million equivalent, you know, people equivalent units will have nothing to eat. Now, most people can't survive more than about 45 days without food. So if it were really zero food for 400 million people for 130 days, they would mostly die. But in the real world, there are substitutions. You know, people will get food from other places. There'll be food redistribution efforts, some food rescue efforts, and also some substitutions. People will start eating, you know, like rats or squirrels or zoo animals or the neighbor's cat or the neighbor. You know, if it gets bad enough, cannibalism will be considered a food source. I mean, we've seen that in history, and it'll probably happen again in certain places. Now, I'm not suggesting that's going to happen in North America or Canada or the UK, although we would all probably enjoy seeing the citizens of the United Kingdom eating the leadership there. That's a joke, by the way. I'm kidding. pay-per-view cannibalism out of the city of London. Yeah. No, I'm kidding. I don't anticipate cannibalism in first world nations. But in a lot of developing nations, as the situation becomes more desperate, then of course people will turn to more and more desperate measures. So Bangladesh, Nigeria, Somalia, to some extent even in India, Yemen, other Middle Eastern nations will be stressed. In part due to the war, but also then exacerbated by the lack of fertilizer. By the way, NATO is striking food storage facilities in Russia right now, which is only going to worsen the whole situation. Although Russia has overall plenty of food to go around, they're going to have to scramble to redistribute regionally. Some regions could have, you know, shortages, obviously. And that could even happen in Western countries, even in the United States. You're going to have food inflation. You may have reduced supply, reduced choices, longer wait times on food imports, etc. So it will affect the United States as well. But the worst effects will happen in those marginalized nations that I mentioned. Now, most leadership, political leadership, will not let their people starve if they can help it. So they will try to sort of redistribute the food. They'll be using up a bunch of food stores. They'll be begging China or the USA for help, and like, send us more food. And some of that will work. There will be efforts to try to feed people. So I'm not saying 400 million people will starve to death, but I am saying that essentially roughly 400 million people, or equivalent people units, will be facing the risk of famine or risk of food scarcity, and will require some kind of rescue intervention in order to avoid starving to death. That's almost certainly the case, and that's all because of this war with Iran that Trump continues to prosecute by choice. So there isn't enough food to feed all 8 billion people if we don't have the Persian Gulf functioning. Technically, there's only enough food to feed, what was that, 7.6 billion people, right? Yeah, 7.6 billion people, because 400 million that ultimately can't be fed. So that's about 5% of the total world population, or about 1 in 20 people. So the question is, will the 19 out of 20 share their food with the 1 out of 20 that don't have enough food in order to prevent mass global famine? And the answer is, who knows? I mean, I guess it depends on the country, depends on the corruption level, the politics, it depends on a lot of factors. Probably in some countries, people will be fine. In other countries, dead. You know? And a lot of times, money is donated to food aid, and it goes into the pockets of corrupt officials while the people starve. I mean, my God, we've seen that over and over again in various, African nations, for example. And in the U.S., they'll put on, these food fundraising aid concerts and famous musicians and everything, and then, 99% of that money will go to the concert organizers. And then they'll send like soybeans, a little bit of soybeans to some poor African starving children or something, because it was all a giant hoax for the most part. Yeah, we've seen that before. Probably we'll see that again. But the bottom line here is if you do the math on this, and if this continues for an extended period of time, like let's say if the war continues all the way into 2027, then roughly for each day that the war continues, a little over 1 million people in our world face new levels of extreme food scarcity or famine. It's roughly about a million equivalent people units per day. And what that means is, even if we as a global community, if we could rescue like 90% of those people, that could still mean ultimately you have 100,000 people per day dying in 2027 or even into 2028. You could literally have 100,000 people dying per day because of this war, because of the lack of fertilizer. And that's if the world does a good job of feeding 90% of those in need. You see what I mean? And if you think I'm being too harsh, run the numbers yourself. I've done the research on this. Maybe you think, no, it can't be that. It must be even 10 times less. Okay, so it's 10,000 people per day dying. That's still a lot of people. The Pentagon and Fox News are up in arms over, two U.S. service members being killed in a missile attack, or three being killed, or four being killed. What about 10,000 a day? And the thing is, the 10,000, if that is the number, they're not even in Iran. They're not even in America. They're not even in Israel or Jordan. They're in other countries that have nothing to do with the war. In essence, what I'm saying is that this war will kill more people outside the war zone than it kills inside the war zone. Because I don't know how many Iranians have been killed so far from the bombing, but it's not 10,000 a day. It's not even 1,000 a day. It's not even 100 a day. I don't think. I haven't heard that. I don't know how much it is, but I don't think it's anywhere near those numbers. But that's exactly what could happen outside the war zone if the Strait of Hormuz does not reopen soon. There's a certain amount of buffer that the world has. There's a buffer of food supplies, a little bit of buffer of fertilizer. There's nitrogen in the pipeline, right? There's phosphorus in the pipeline. And the pipeline holds so much. And so maybe right now we're still okay. But the war's not over, is it? It's only getting worse. The escalation's getting way worse. This war could easily last the rest of this year. And if it does, then where are we globally with nitrogen and phosphate fertilizers and the planting season for the spring of 2027, let's say, or even just the fall of 2026? Then where are we? Then farmers are like, we don't have any fertilizer everywhere, but especially in, you know, places like India and Bangladesh and even Thailand and Southeast Asian countries. You know, think about it. Think about Malaysia. Think about Singapore. Even, you know, where do they get all their food? You know, they don't grow all their food themselves. They get it from Southeast Asia. Think about it. And by the way, who are they going to blame for all the famine? They're going to blame Trump and the United States, because Trump started the war that led to the famine. Come on. U.S. is going to get blamed for all of this. A lot of finger pointing. What happens if the number of people who die from global famine exceeds the Holocaust of World War II? Because it very easily could. Again, we're talking about potentially 400 million people facing, or equivalent numbers of people facing the risk of famine or food insecurity, as it's sometimes called by the United Nations or the IMF, etc. Well, could that result in millions of deaths if the strait doesn't reopen? Absolutely it could. It could be millions of deaths. Trump could literally go down in history as the president who killed more people than Hitler. Imagine that. That's not hyperbole. That's where this is headed if we don't reopen the strait. Now, Trump said, because two U.S. service members were killed, because, of course, the Pentagon puts them on bases out there as bait to try to get them killed, so there's a reason to escalate the war. I mean, I told you about that months ago. They don't even have bunkers out there. You know, they're on a military base in Jordan or Kuwait or wherever. They don't even have shelter. They're just put out there as bait. It's like missile magnets, basically. That's what the Pentagon thinks of its own soldiers, by the way. You're just totally expendable. But imagine Trump says, because of those deaths, he says that we're going to unleash the gates of hell. Like, that's an exact quote. We're going to unleash the gates of hell against Iran. So first of all, Trump is getting his metaphors all mixed up, because you can't unleash gates. You open gates. And when you open the gates, you could then unleash whatever was held back by the gates. But you don't unleash the gates. It's not like you're going to set the gates free and the gates are going to go do something. No, you don't unleash the gates of hell. So I don't know what he means by that. You open the gates. And then you could say, well, hell is then unleashed. But whatever, you know, maybe to expect our president to understand metaphors is just too much expectation. Who knows? But as I pointed out in a social media post, you could open the gates of hell. You still can't open the Strait of Hormuz. Imagine that. I mean, this problem remains a problem until you open the strait. And you can't open the strait by force. You can't bomb open the strait. Doesn't work that way. The strait will never be open. As I said in March, the strait will never be open until Iran wants it to be open. If Iran does not consent to the opening of the strait will not be open, period. Because it takes almost no effort for Iran to harass ships trying to move through the strait. They can be harassed with, you know, drones or rockets, or frankly, bottle rockets, you know, fireworks. Because all those ships are explosive. They're carrying, they're basically floating giant bombs, okay? And they are very averse to fire, obviously. I mean, Iran could have catapults on the shoreline, flinging flaming boulders or whatever, like oil-soaked hay bales at the ships, you know, like medieval style. And even that would block the strait. Because the ships can't risk being set on fire, obviously. So the strait's not going to be open until Iran wants it open. And Trump just, he keeps thinking that you can open doors with bombs. And it just doesn't work. So we're in the same cycles, like Groundhog Day, like I said a few weeks ago. We're stuck in Groundhog Day loop number, I don't know, 44 now, is it? Something like that. Every day it's the same, or every week it's the same loop. We're back to, let's bomb Iran, we're going to bomb the snot out of them again, you know. And then what? Then what? Then Trump's going to have a press conference and tell us Iran wants to make a deal so badly, you know. And it's, come on, we've heard this before, it's a broken record. Doesn't work. They called me so badly, want to make a deal. You know, come on. Retard, man. I mean, come on. So, there's no conclusion to this. There's no end in sight. The U.S. side is irrational, incompetent, incapable, cannot even understand the parameters of peace. And the Iranian side is going to hold out for as long as it takes to assert control over the Strait of Hormuz, because that's the one thing they have. That's more powerful than a nuclear weapon. They got their hands on the nutsack of the world's energy flows, you know? And they're squeezing. No fertilizer for you. Brrr, squeeze. Meow! You know what I mean? A testicle check right there for you, huh? No oil for you. Testicle check. No gas. Nothing. They got your nutsack. You can't do anything. So Iran's not going to give that up. Trump's not going to back down. He's incapable of it. Because he's, you know, narcissistic and whatever. So how does this end? I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine. Maybe the U.S. gets insane and decides to start dropping tactical nuclear weapons, which will... that will unleash hell. The gates of hell will be open then, because we're not the only ones with nukes, right? That would be a very bad scenario. Let us hope that doesn't happen. But it could. So that's an honest assessment of where we are, folks. Now, on top of this, there's a diesel shortage that's about to kick in a few more weeks, jet fuel shortage, oil price spike globally, global supply chain erosion, degradation. Things are about to get really dicey here. Why do you think I'm scrambling to set up a bunch of solar stuff? Because I know what's about to happen to energy. Yeah, it's going to be really catastrophic. We're talking about something on the scale of what you might call a civilizational reset. You know, NATO's bombing all the oil refineries in Russia, like bombing the snot out of them. Russia's almost every oil refinery in Russia has been damaged now. Almost, I mean, all the big ones. And a bunch of oil storage depots as well. Russia, which produces plenty of its own energy, but it's now in a world of hurt because it can't refine it. It doesn't have enough fuel for its own economy. It has to import diesel from other countries because of all the damage to the refineries. Well, this is only going to contribute to the global energy shock. We are truly headed for a civilizational reset. An energy reset. You know, global famine, maybe global thermonuclear war, maybe all three. Not going to be an easy time, especially for those who are not prepared. So, of course, get prepared. Now, a couple of things. Our sponsor, the Satellite Phone Store, they've got a lot of preparedness supplies, including satellite phones, obviously. They've also got Faraday bags, and they have power stations as well. They have the EcoFlow brand, I think. Not the Pecron, but the EcoFlow. Some people prefer the EcoFlow. I'm reviewing the Pecron. right now. I'll bring you some videos on those. But you can find the satellite phone store at sat123.com, and they have a lot of supplies, including solar panel packages and things like that. Our online store, healthrangerstore.com, we've got the storable food. Certified organic, laboratory tested, expertly formulated with pristine ingredients, meticulously sourced, you know, like fair trade freeze-dried coffee that's also certified organic, etc. You know, food sourced from farmer co-ops, etc. So you can shop with us there, healthrangerstore.com. But also, get yourself squared away. Be ready for disruptions in fuel and food and electricity. All three. You should plan for all three because that's sort of where this is headed. So something to think about. I will keep you posted as best I can, and you can follow my videos at brightvideos.com. And I've been making appearances on various shows. I've been on with Ben Swan recently. I've been on with Daniel Davis, Deep Dive. I was on RT last week. They called and wanted me to do a short segment about AI. So I said, sure, let's talk to the RT audience about AI. And I did. And I'm getting invites from other shows. I mean, it's weird because, you know, I've been warning about depopulation. I've been warning about collapse for a long time. And all of a sudden now, the things I've been talking about appear to more mainstream people to be legitimate concerns. Like, oh yeah, this is really happening. The world is going to run out of, you know, fertilizer and some crops and diesel and oil. You know, because we're watching the deliberate destruction of the infrastructure that provides those things to the world. And there's no way that 8 billion people can continue to survive if the infrastructure that keeps them alive keeps getting bombed or blocked. You know, you just can't keep 8 billion people alive. So somehow there's going to be an equilibrium reach where the population shrinks to match the available infrastructure. How many humans will be alive at that point? I don't know. 7.5 billion or is it going to be like 0.5 billion? It just depends on how crazy these lunatics get. The lunatics like, you know, the Trump regime and or the globalists who are running all this, just how insane are they? Or the leaders of Western European nations, you know, the UK, Germany, and France, they're crazy. They're insane. How far are they going to take it? They're going to try to start World War III with Russia. They want Russia to nuke them, apparently, from their own actions, and maybe they're going to get their wish. I don't know. But you can't count on the rationality or the intelligence or the competency of any of these Western leaders at this point. They're insane. They're like psychiatric patients that are running nations or running them into the ground anyway. So we all have to be prepared on our own. So follow my work again, brightvideos.com or naturalnews.com is where my articles are posted and my infographics. So check it out there. Stay informed. I'll do my best to help keep you alive during all this. I'm not joking. I'll do my best. I'm going to try to keep as many people alive as I can, but you got to plan to be as decentralized as possible. Have your own food, your own medicine, your own, you know, gold and silver backup monetary systems, you know, your own backup communications, everything. Your own energy if you can. It's going to take some preparation, so I'll share with you what I'm doing and encourage you to keep doing what you're doing. So thanks for listening. Take care.
Stock up on the long-term storable Ranger Bucket Set. 536 servings of clean organic superfoods for your survival pantry. Certified organic and lab tested for purity. Order now at healthrangerstore.com.